Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our text for this Sunday, the Transfiguration of our Lord, is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. We will read verses 1 through 9, where we read in the name of our Lord. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While yet he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, once again we do thank you. We pray, Father, that you would quicken this word to our hearts, that indeed we would understand what took place on this day. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' sake, amen. This text actually begins Codex Vaticanus, which is the oldest full codex of the New Testament that we possess, starts it with the verse before, which is quite telling in the sense of what really takes place here. Jesus said to his disciples, With certainty I am telling you, there are some people who are standing here. Such ones will certainly not experience death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. What this is talking about is that Jesus would manifest the kingdom. And it says, so after 6 days, he takes along James, Peter, and John to show them the kingdom, to show them what he was actually doing and who he actually was. But not just who he was, what they would be. You see, the sense of the transfiguration is to demonstrate the coming of the new kingdom. It is to demonstrate the reality that we don't see, that we can't experience through our senses. It is to demonstrate that there is a reality that supersedes us, that we really have no insight into physically. I always use these examples from quantum physics for you in order to understand. We don't even understand what physical reality is. All that junk about electrons being like little balls in the nucleus of the atom and all, that's just garbage. Nobody even knows what any of that stuff looks like. We don't even get that. So when the scripture talks about there being a spiritual reality that transcends our reality, we sure don't get that. But it is more real than the physical reality that we possess, whatever that is. That physical reality is only temporal. It only exists within our time. And that's why God does not follow the sense of our time. Jesus came to us from the future as much as he came to us from the past. Jesus pre-existed all things. And in reality, is what he's showing us is after the fall, when we fell out of that existence, Jesus came to restore us, to bring us into the fullness of that existence. And the disciples couldn't understand that. And this whole scenario is established to show that, because the disciples really didn't realize who they were hanging out with. They didn't really know. And so when this begins, Jesus is transfigured, which is just a nice way of saying that he was changed. He was visibly changed right in front of them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothing became white like light. In other words, that now, for the first time, they would actually see him. That's actually who he is. And it says, then look, appeared to them Moses and Elijah, who represent the law and the prophets. So Moses and Elijah appear there. And of course, this is all scripted. They're supposed to appear there in order to indicate very clearly the things of the old covenant. That Jesus was there in relationship to the old covenant, which he fulfilled with the law and the prophets. And Peter does exactly what we would do. Peter says, well, let's get real religious. Let's get to work building a shrine, doggone it. We should do something really religious. Let's build us some buildings. We'll build us one for Moses. We'll build us one for Elijah. We'll build us one for you. And then we'll sell tickets. You know, we'll make t-shirts. We'll just be real, real religious. Now, in one of the other Gospels, it says he didn't even realize what he was saying. He was just so overcome with the situation, he just didn't even realize what he was saying. And that's why this voice that comes is so significant. The voice comes from a cloud. And of course, this is the voice of God. God appears to them in a cloud because as of yet, God isn't going to reveal his fullness to them. He appears to them in a cloud so that they don't die. And he says, Peter, you don't understand what you're talking about. This is my son that I love. This is my son. It's him that I am pleased with. Not the law and the prophets. The law and the prophets failed. They were weak according to the flesh. And you remember, even Moses couldn't make it into the promised land. Moses died outside of it because he failed. God says, this is my son, the one that I love. It's him that fully has satisfied everything that I have wanted done. And he says, listen to him. Listen to him. You see, this is what's being talked about on this day. Listen to him. He is the Son of the living God. He is your Savior and your Redeemer. His blood cleanses you from all iniquity, and his blood gives you the fullness of the peace of God. Something that the law and the prophets could not do. As Paul says about the law doesn't care about you. The law says you transgress, you die. That's it. Jesus the Christ, through God the Father, loves us. And because he loves us, he gives himself over to death in order to redeem us. And he gives us life. Life. That we should become the children of God. You see, the transfiguration isn't about Jesus. That's easy. For Jesus, that's nothing. This is just the way he is. He just shows up the way he is. That's all. What the disciples needed to understand is what Jesus was showing them is what they would be. I always use the battle hymn of the Republic on this day because of the third verse. To understand, in the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. This isn't about the transfiguration of Jesus as much as it's about the coming of his kingdom and our transfiguration, that we are transfigured in him, that the new creation is brought upon us through the finished work of Jesus Christ, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, that if any human being is in Christ, then the new creation has come. And the new creation has come. It is in us. It is within us by the Holy Spirit of God, who testifies that we are indeed the children of the living God. It's that transfiguration that Jesus is showing. And you can see what happens is when this takes place, they're so awestruck by it, they all fall on their faces and they're scared to death. And Jesus simply comes and touches them and says, "Get up. Don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of with your God. You have been and will be transformed. Why would you be afraid of the being that transforms you?" He doesn't seek your fear in the sense of a servile fear. Fear, when it speaks of it in the scripture, it speaks of a reverence, speaks of a devotion, not a servile fear. He doesn't seek us to shrink away from him. He seeks us to come in the fullness of exactly what we are, the very children of God, to come before him, as the scripture says, openly, boldly to the throne of grace. To understand very clearly we are summoned. Why? Because there is a new kingdom. And that's why it says, when they opened up their eyes again, Moses and Elijah were gone. There's no one there but Jesus. And for us, there's no one there but Jesus. And Jesus has filled us. And Jesus has graciously taken away all of our sin and the sin of the whole world. Jesus the Christ has placed himself in our place, has received our death, has received our suffering, and has given us his resurrection, that we would know that we are alive, that we would live in his grace. And that's why he told them, "Don't tell anybody till I'm risen from the dead." He says there's going to be no ability to understand any of this until I'm risen from the dead. But after that, tell everybody. Tell everybody. Tell them what you have seen. And you remember St. Peter in the text we read. He says, and we have an even greater witness than a voice from heaven. He says, we have the scriptures that testify to this, that tell us this is what God has done. Now, I'm going to tell you, I use this illustration all the time. You get up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you think, you know, what's going on here? You know, I got a new wrinkle. I got something else going on here. You know, I look at my beard and most of it's white. You know, and you sit there and you look at this and you're like, you shave that thing and you think, you know, try to improve its appearance and things like that. Well, I hate to tell you, you're never going to look better. Because in God's eyes, you have been transfigured. You are glorious and you are beautiful and you are shining like the light of the sun. You just can't see it because your eyes just aren't that good. And when it comes to all this self-esteem stuff, you stink at it, so don't bother. The reality is you have been given a greater esteem. You have been given a greater gift that you can't see and you cannot yet experience in your senses. But the reality is you have been transfigured. And the scripture says we don't yet know how we will appear. It says, but when he appears, we will be like him. We will be like him. And the scripture also says very clearly to everyone who received him, he gave them power. He gave them the right, actually, to be the children of God. You are a child of God. You have been transfigured through the finished work of Jesus Christ. He has established a new kingdom for each and every one of us. But we're never going to see it in our own understanding. It is only ours by faith, by the grace of God. And when we realize it, and that's really the thing, is trying to get people to realize this, because they always look in the mirror and they're always telling you how they're losing it. No, knock that off. You don't see right. And an eye doctor can't help you. The only one who sees us appropriately is our God. And he tells us who we are. You are mine. You are purchased with the blood of my own beloved Son. And I love you, the scripture says, just the same way that I love him. I love you. So it's time for us to start to catch up with God and realize the way that God sees us and live that way. Live that way. You understand, today we do the supper. The supper is for the transfigured. It's not just bread and wine. In its outward form it is. But it is transfigured. It becomes the body and blood of Jesus the Christ. He indwells it. Not in a way that we can explain with science. Because it isn't science. God have mercy on us. Science doesn't help us with much of anything. It's the reality of things that transcends our science, that brings us into a world that we cannot understand, where God tells us very clearly I have forgiven you all of your sins. I don't care what you think about it, which is my favorite thing. God doesn't take a poll and ask us, what do you think about it? God says, I have taken away your sin. And I have given you the fullness of myself. I have freed you from death. And I have freed you from the tyranny of the evil one. And so he says, so you just come. He says, you just freely come. You come and you receive the life that your Lord has given you. You receive his body and his blood. You receive that as a free gift as it is. And you go home and stop looking in the mirror and stop evaluating yourself according to what you can't see. And look at the only mirror that counts, this, and read it. And read what the wonderful things is that God says about us, because he says wonderful things. And he wants us to believe every one of them. Because he showed us who we are and what we will be. And he shows us that we're eternal beings who will live forever in his peace and will enjoy his kingdom for eternity. Start thinking that way. Because the old thinking is stinking. It doesn't work. The new thinking is what you see in the coming of the kingdom. And it's ours to have. It's ours to live in. And we don't have to look back anymore. We look forward with joy and expectation. Church people. So hard to get those smiles. But we're going to keep working on it. And keep working on it. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. Most gracious and almighty God, not a thing we can do. We don't even know what we would manipulate to do anything with. But what a wonderful thing you have done. That by your mercy and your grace, simply by your mercy and your grace, you have restored us to that which was lost. You have given us the fullness of our humanity again. That we may live in everything that you intended us to be through the one true human who was transfigured for our sake, that we would see and we would know your fullness. We pray, Father, even this day, that so our hearts may be quickened and strengthened by your word and your Holy Spirit, that we would indeed live in that fullness, understanding your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. And Father, we would come before you freely and receive your gift freely and go home freely and live freely. For Jesus' sake, amen.